BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we're so glad you've joined us today here on Crosstalk, as we have a topic that I believe you'll find both interesting and quite informative. The Council on American-Islamic Relations released a statement indicating there was a record 170 Muslim candidates on 2020 ballots across 28 states and Washington, D.C. It's the highest number since they started mapping electoral progress of those who identify as Muslim. Their director, Nihad Awad, said, "Our fight for a more inclusive America does not end here. We will continue to inspire more American Muslims to run for political office and ensure our voices are heard at all levels of government." And indeed, just a week ago, a major Muslim event was held for the upcoming Georgia election, in which Rashida Tlaib said, quote, "I hope you realize just the opportunity here that Allah has given us to show the power of Muslims in Georgia." Joining me today on Crosstalk, we welcome back Usama Dakdak. Usama is the founder of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, the speaker on the daily radio broadcast Revealing the Truth About Islam. He speaks fluent Arabic. He has translated the Quran into English. He is the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and the newly released Exposing the Truth About Jihad. We understand he's been writing that second volume as well. Usama, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy to be with you and all our wonderful audience.
Let's begin, first of all, with the November 3rd election. A record of 170 Muslim candidates. 62 were elected to office. Now, that's in comparison to 49 candidates in the year 2019 that were elected. There was a total of 22 Muslims that ran for Congress in 14 states. 5 made it to the general election. 3 won the election. But 48 ran for state legislative seats, with 22 winning. Wisconsin just had its first Muslim elected into the state house. 16 Muslims ran for county seats in 10 states, 6 won. 35 ran for school committees or school board seats, with 12 winning. And 6 ran for judiciary positions, with 4 winning. Your response to what we've seen November 3rd?
Maybe my response should be, we need to go back to the radio broadcast, which I recorded with you a few months ago, and I said so. I know sometimes when we tell the truth to the American people, they think we're exaggerating. As a matter of fact, I know for sure some of the ministers who have listened to me saying that, they will tell me, "Brother Usama, we love you, we appreciate you, you have a great ministry to teach about Islam, but when you exaggerate in your numbers, you lose your credibility." And now these preachers are writing back to me, apologizing because they did not take me seriously. Here is my response. Guess what, Brother Jim? In the 2022, you will have more than 300 Muslims running for offices. And in the year 2024, you'll have 400 plus, maybe 500 Muslims running for office. Because the larger the number of Muslims running for office, the larger the number of those who will win. And they will continue to win and win and win until America becomes a Muslim country.
Usama, there are three organizations working together. There's JetPAC, which is a group that's dedicated to get Muslims to run for office. There's Empower Change. It's the largest Muslim-led social and racial justice organization in the U.S. And then you have the CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, that is there to enhance understanding of Islam, promote justice, and empower American Muslims. So you've got three organizations working together here to bring about Islamic change on the election level.
Well, here is the answer, Brother Jim. Have we looked at what is written by the hand of the Muslim Brotherhood? When I say Muslim Brotherhood, I'm talking about Bin Laden. I'm talking about the Muslim jihadi whom we are killing overseas. They're here in America. Listen to their own handwriting. And what I'm about to read now is written in 1987. So that's a long time ago. Here's what they said. Muslim Brotherhood members emphasize that they follow the law of the nations in which they operate. And then they said, they stress that they do not believe in overthrowing the U.S. government, but rather that they want as many people as possible to convert to Islam. We'll continue, so that one day, perhaps, generation from now, a majority of Americans will support a society governed by Islamic law. Mustafa Saeed, who used to be a Muslim Brotherhood member, wrote to us in 1998. He says that he found out that the U.S. Brotherhood had a plan for achieving Islamic rule in America. It would convert Americans to Islam and elect, listen to this word, Brother Jim, and elect like-minded Muslims to political office. This is the reality. Why Muslims are running for office? This is not something come to their mind last week or last election. This is what they've been planning in America for over 30 years. And I've been talking about that literally for the last 30 years, 29 plus years since I came to this country. And it seemed to me like there is no ears to hear the truth. But I'm thankful that we got GCY today and we're telling the truth one more time for those who have not heard it to hear it, investigate it, and they find this is the truth. They're here to take over America. And the sad thing is that the American people are destroying themselves because they have no knowledge about what Muslims are doing in America, and they are giving America to the Muslim Brotherhood by their own hand, by their own free will.
All right. Well, friends, we've got a lot to unpack here because not only what we saw transpire November 3rd, but I'm going to propel us now to January 5th. This is the Georgia election. December 13th, just a week ago Sunday, there was an online vote-a-thon co-hosted by the Georgia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations and the Georgia Muslim Voter Project. I'm going to be playing three clips here. The first is of Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear her say. She said, I hope that you will realize just the opportunity here that Allah has given us to show the power of Muslims in Georgia. We're also going to hear from Linda Sarsour. We're going to hear from Ilhan Omar. And after each clip, we're going to hear from Usama Dakdak. And so the first clip here is coming from Rashida Tlaib.
I also hope you realize, like, just the opportunity here that Allah has given us to show the power of Muslims in Georgia. And just collectively, like, hey, we're here. I want people to be like, oh, my God, I didn't even know Muslims are in Georgia. Exactly. Because we're going to show them in drove of numbers. I want to, mashallah, be able to say, look at the voting in these precincts. And guess what? It was the Muslim vote that delivered Georgia.
Usama.
Yes, inshallah, inshallah. By Allah's will, Muslim will deliver Georgia to the Muslim Brotherhood. And by Allah's will, as the Muslim believe, Muslim will deliver America to Islam State. These are the members of CARE. CARE are a Muslim jihadi organization. CARE are telling us this is Allah's gift. And it's true, Brother Jim. It is Allah's gift. If we know that Allah is the devil, Allah is Satan. And Satan is using the Democrats as useful idiots to give America to the Muslim hands. And I'm not surprised Rashida Tlaib is bragging about this golden opportunity, because guess what? While Christians are not involved in politics, the Muslims are doing the job for the Christian, for the Muslims, and for Allah to take America to Islam.
Let's also hear from Linda Sarsour.
You, the Muslim American community in Georgia, by yourselves, can literally swing this entire election and send two Democrats to the U.S. Senate, which makes Kamala Harris the deciding vote, and you can actually alleviate harm and suffering on millions of immigrants in this country, particularly on the issue of immigration reform.
Usama, who is Linda Sarsour?
A Muslim lady from Palestine. She is a member of the jihad organization of Fatah or Hezbollah or whatever organization she goes. She's a Muslim Brotherhood jihadi. She also worked with CARE. This is a lady who led 50,000 American liberal ladies in first riot against rally against Mr. Trump before even he came to the White House. She is the one, she was bragging about uniting the million vote Muslim in America to vote for Mr. Joe Biden. Now, trust me, in Islam, Brother Jim, it is lawful to lie and it is lawful to deceive the infidel. So I am not surprised that there is a million men and women in America who voted for Mr. Joe Biden. But I will not be able to be surprised to find out they actually voted more than once. It will be very easy for these Muslims to vote four, five, six times. Who knows how many times this million Muslim men and women in America voted for Joe Biden. And now she is back again working in Georgia, to unite the Muslims in Georgia to vote for these two Democrats. One of them is a reverend. Well, I want to talk about him maybe a little bit later, if you give me a chance. And that is the problem in America, that Muslims are united and we are divided. I hear some people in Georgia say, don't vote, don't vote, stay home. Be like a child, be like a baby, get upset and say, I'm not going to eat dinner. Stay hungry. Mm. Yes, indeed.
Wow.
That's exactly the devil work in Georgia.
Well, let's hear Ilhan Omar's clip, and then we'll come back and talk further about that Georgia election. Here's Congresswoman Omar.
I do hope that when the election is decided on January 5th, and people are able to analyze who came out and voted, we will hear that the Muslims in Georgia were a big part of making the right decision in this historic election.
Okay, so she's following through on basically what the others are saying here. And you said, you know, go ahead and...
Brother Jim, if you don't mind. Ilhan Omar should serve 18 years in prison for the crime she committed by coming to America in a fragile paperwork, by marrying her brother for 6 years, by doing all this fraudulent work, and actually by giving money to the man who she is now married to after she divorced her husband, the Muslim Somali. This woman is a criminal. And instead of she's in prison, she's working one more time to join with all the rest of the Muslim Jihad of America to bring Muslims to go and vote. And I'm not surprised, once again, that the Muslims of Georgia will be voting for these two senators. But the Muslims of America, the rest of the 50 states, maybe right now they're voting for the Georgia election.
What happens in Georgia is going to have a huge impact on the whole of the country. You said you had some further thoughts on this Georgia election.
Well, Brother Jim, it is the truth. We are deceived by even those who are so-called Christian. We'll worry about tonight and today in our radio broadcast here about the Muslim Brotherhood in America. What's making me even twice as sick is those who call themselves Christian ministers. That reverend who is running for Georgia to help the Democrat and the Muslims take over America. It is shocking to me. You know, Brother Jim, when I tell this information to my people overseas in Egypt, they look at me without any doubt that I am lying to them, that here is a black reverend who's running with the Democrat Party to help the Muslims to take over America. They could not believe it. That reverend, I have a message for him, which I wish I had the chance to talk to this lady who's running against him before she had the last debate with him, because I wish she can read to him a passage Jesus talks about a good 2,000 years ago, when Jesus said they will come, and that reverend will come to Jesus and say, hey, I was a preacher in a big church. I preached in your name. I prophesied in your name. I cast demons in your name. And Jesus had a sentence for him. Away from me, you evildoer. That's exactly what and his evil is what? Killing innocent and shedding innocent blood. One of the most six hateful sins before God. This is a preacher who has no problem to say he is for life, but at the same time, he is for women's freedom to choose to kill or not to kill her baby. An oxymoron talk. Literally, he's saying, I am for it and I'm against it. And he is thinking he's doing God a favor by what he's doing. That's not a Christian minister action or talk.
Usama Daktak, our guest here today on Crosstalk, discussing the Muslim political power advancing in the United States. And friends, as we talked about, this vote-a-thon held just a week ago, yet another event was held just this past Saturday as well. More on that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult tasks, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Daktok is our guest today. His website is thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. We were telling about that Georgia Vote-a-thon in which we had the number of individuals pushing the Islamic get out the vote for Georgia itself. And giving credit really to Allah, as you heard coming from Rashida Tlaib, saying, I hope you realize the opportunity here that Allah has given us to show the power of Muslims in Georgia. Well, by the way, this past Saturday, December 19th, there was a two-hour event. It was CARE's 26th anniversary gala entitled Meet the Moment, Heal Our Nation, Champion Justice. So, again, you got some of the speakers. There was Linda Sarsour spoke, Iman Zaid Shaker, Dr. Altaf Hussein had a video message as well from Congress members Andre Carson, Rashida Tlaib, a big fundraising event for them. Usama, when Islamic groups come together like this and they push forth a message called Champion Justice, what is meant by that?
Well, the justice of Islam, of course. When you and I say the word justice, we're talking about a quality of life. The justice of Islam has nothing to do with the justice of America. But most American people, especially our liberal friends, they hear the word justice, say, hey, these are wonderful people. You're looking for justice. The justice in Islam is for Muslims to take over America. The justice of Islam is for Muslims to annihilate any other person who does not stand for Allah and Muhammad. Let me read to you, Brother Jim, what the same group, CARE, wrote to us in the Holy Land Foundation trial memorandum. Listen to this. We must understand that our work in America is a kind of grand jihad in, listen carefully, eliminating and destroying the West, the Western civilization from within and sabotaging it so that it is eliminated and Islam is made victorious. It is a Muslim destiny to perform jihad. The justice is to obey Allah, and the justice is to fulfill the will of Allah in this earth, and that is to eliminate anything and everyone who does not believe in Islam. That the religion of Allah will be completely Islam in America. This is Quran chapter 3 and verse 85. It is Islam justice, which we have no clue what they say and what they mean by what they say here in America.
Usama, Ted Cruz, he's a senator from Texas, and he just introduced a bill a couple weeks ago right here in this month of December, and it is a Senate bill. It's S-4939, and what this is that the legislation would designate Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist-designated group, a terrorist group, Muslim Brotherhood. Do you agree with that action or disagree?
Absolutely, and I'm thinking it is kind of too late now because my president, the Muslim president of Egypt, Mohammed Assisi, literally begged Mr. Trump 3.5 years ago or so. He said, please, do what is right like I did in Egypt, because we have to understand, the Muslim Brotherhood Jihadi organization, it's an Egyptian one. It started with Hassan al-Banna a good 100 years ago, and then after him, Saif Qutb, and now we have the members of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. Actually, they have been in and out of the White House for 8 years under Barack Hussein Obama. And now they're coming back to the White House. And now they have members who are running. They are actually our Congress. I mean, you talk about Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of those who are winning. They are taking over America. And the only thing I regret about having Mr. Trump in the White House the last 4 years is he did not listen to the advice of Mohammed Assisi, the president of Egypt, because they are a jihad organization and they are here to destroy. I just read to you, Brother Jim, they're here to eliminate America, to sabotage the house of America. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they are doing. So I believe it's the perfect decision, but will it pass under Biden? Well, good luck for that.
And certainly dismantling happens piece by piece, but you put people in authority in Congress and then in the state houses, school boards and all levels of government, now even on the judge's bench as well. And I find it interesting because now we have frontpagemag.com just ran a column this past Thursday that Ilhan Omar, AOC, and Rashida Tlaib, along with some other House members, are demanding that Facebook remove 100% of what they call anti-Muslim content, anti-Muslim animus, anti-Muslim bigotry, even anti-Muslim organizing. No cartoons of Muhammad, no mentions of what they call blasphemy, no what they call as hate, terrorism would all be censored. I mean, we're seeing a huge push to ban anything that they do not agree with. That includes you and your organization. I mean, we've seen what they've done to conservative thought online and Facebook and so forth, and here they're trying to purge all of social media from that regard.
And exactly, you're right 100%, Brother Jim, including this radio broadcast. Today, I read for your audience what the Muslims wrote by their own hands. By the way, for me to read the Quran online, that itself is a hate speech. And I have challenged Muslims. I said, I'm going to talk for 2 hours, and I'm not going to say a word out of my lips. All I'm going to say, Allah said and Muhammad said. And every sentence will come out of my lips in 2 hours, solid 2 hours. It is nothing but the word of Allah and the word of Muhammad. And that is exactly what the Muslims do not want the American people to know. All what they want us to know through the Facebook and all this media is, Islam is love, Islam is peace. We love Jesus and we believe in Jesus. We love Muslims, believe in Muslims. And this hogwash Islam to continue to be broadcast and to be told to the American people until the Muslim in America has the upper hand. And then it will be too late to figure out what in the world you're going to do to fix this country. So just the reading of the word of Allah in the Quran and the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, it is hate speech. If it was read by somebody like me, Muslims would disregard all that hateful, savage teaching of Allah and Muhammad, because that is how they can deceive us here in America.
Okay, so we see what's happening in politics. We see what's going on with the push toward this, the censoring on like Facebook, social media. And then, Usama, also is happening on the education front. I just saw Jihad Watch, and they have this new study for the American-Israeli Cooperative Enterprise found that United States institutions, we're talking like colleges, received more than $10 billion in foreign gifts from Arab sources from 1981 to October 2020. And what we're seeing is a lion's share of this is coming from what they call the state of Palestine. Major gifts going into universities, and including places like Harvard University. Is this why we're seeing the thought change in young people that are going through these halls of higher learning?
Exactly, Brother Jim. Exactly. Mr. Joe Biden told the Muslim in his speech, the 1 million vote, he said, I will end the hate speech. It's not Ilhan Omar. It's not Rashida Tlaib. It is Biden himself. And he said, we need you to educate us about Islam. Wait a minute. It's fought on the bush. Literally, for 7 years, we have nothing but hogwash. The brainwashing of children in our public schools, and now it's going to get even bigger and bigger. So instead, and by the way, Brother Jim, I said that in my presentation live in the textbooks, and I said, Islam will evolve in our textbooks as evolution evolved in our textbooks. Years ago, a big picture of dinosaur and few sentences under it. Today, there's no picture of dinosaur, but books, volumes of teaching to say that evolution is true and creation is false. The same thing is coming to every public school in America. They will have not just 10, 15 pages in every book. There will be books written completely about hogwash Islam, the love and peace of Islam, and that's why you see Muslims running for school board members. Why? Because all it takes is one lady or one guy on the school board team, and they will control the school textbooks and not. I've seen it myself in Florida, where one lady, a Muslim lady, she said to all of us who rejected the lies in the textbook out of the meeting, and they still teach the same book and that was happening, that happened about 6, 7 years ago. Muslim will control our school, they will control our children, they will continue to brainwash them with this, whatever they want them to learn about Islam.
Usama Dakdak, our guest here today, his website, thestraightway.org. Usama, we see also, I mean, if all happens, as according to the media, has things laid out for a Biden transition to the White House. And we know there's so much going on. President Trump just filed another lawsuit yesterday on challenging going on with the voting machines and challenging going on regarding Pennsylvania, etc. But on the campaign website for Joe Biden, there was a page entitled Joe Biden's Agenda for Muslim American Communities, on which he says prohibiting Muslims from entering the country is morally wrong, and there's no intelligence or evidence that suggests it makes our nation more secure. The Trump administration's anti-Muslim bias hurts our economy and betrays our values. Your thoughts as to what would be anticipated under a Biden administration?
Once again, we have to correct his lies. Mr. Trump does not hate Muslims. Mr. Trump did not ban Muslim countries. He only banned six countries, which was suggested by Barack Hussein Obama, the first Muslim president in America. These are countries where Muslim, when they come to America, Brother Jim, we cannot vet them. You cannot vet a person that does not have a birth certificate or a picture ID. You cannot vet the Muslims coming from Libya or from Somalia or from Yemen. There is no way you can vet them. So that's why, in the same time, while he was putting ban on these Muslims to come from these six countries, they were still coming from 51 other Muslim countries. But what I'm saying right now is this. Muslims are going to be coming to America. Not just the Muslims, but Muslim jihadi will be coming to America. Al-Qaeda, Fatah, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, all these Muslim jihadi will be coming to America, not in the hundreds, but in the thousands. And by the way, he's going to open the border so they can also come from Canada and from the south border. This country will be loaded. If you think about, remember the caravans coming to America from South America?
Yes.
They start marching right now. They're coming, waiting for January 21, and they will be coming through the border. And it is a chaos coming to America again.
Usama, one other issue, and that is the invasion with the church as well. And I saw as well from Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch, reporting out of Kenya, evidently there was a piece of land that was being disputed between Muslims and it looks like a Seventh-day Adventist church. So in an effort to build bridges, evidently the Muslim community got it, but they said to build bridges and heal the rift, they've chosen a new name for their mosque that's caught the attention of many. They're calling it the Mosque of Jesus Christ, saying it's going to build peaceful coexistence. And certainly this is something that even some Christians are saying, oh, this is good, a good gesture. I think it's a strong indication that Muslims and Christians regard each other as brothers and sisters. Your thoughts?
Yeah, brother, sister to my foot. Brother Jim, when Muslims say Jesus Christ, you know what they're saying? They say Isa, the anointed one. No. Isa, the one who was washed. Or Isa, the one he used to travel. The word Christ is a Muslim, according to the scholars, is not the word you and I understand for Christ. The anointed one. The one who came to fulfill all the prophecies. The one who died and was buried and rose again. No. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the word Christ in Islamic belief. It is the one who traveled all the time or the one who was washed. And that is what they mean by the Christ. As for the name Jesus, they don't talk about Yeshua, the Savior. They're talking about Jesus, Isa, son of Mary, who is not the son of God, who also is not God who came in the flesh, who also is the one who did not die on the cross and rose from the dead. That is a hogwash name. And because the American people are ignorant for the name Jesus, Yeshua, and Isa, the made-up name by Muhammad in the Quran, and they do not know what Muslims mean by the Christ, they have no idea what Muslims are talking about.
Usama Daktag, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going to just probe him on a few other issues going on with Islam. Then we'll give you opportunity to call in with your questions or brief comments today. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung desperately in the balance? From the French and Indian War, the Revolution, the Civil War, and other national events, leaders in our country called the nation to prayer. In the book, Miracles in American History, author Susie Federer, the wife of historian and researcher Bill Federer, recounts 32 amazing stories of answered prayer from American history. You'll read about events such as the winter at Valley Forge, the Boston Tea Party, dense fog that appeared, allowing 8,000 troops to escape, the Star-Spangled Banner, and other events where prayer had an impact. You'll also learn when Apollo 13 was lost in space, what happened after the president called the nation to prayer. It's a reminder as to how badly prayer is needed for our nation today. Copies of Miracles in American History are available for a donation of $18 to BCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, it's coming to the U.S. too. I mean, as it relates to the Christians, so-called, and I'm putting that in quotes, and Muslims that are working together. I mean, we have all the interfaith dialogue that is taking place, but in Kenya, they just named a mosque, the Mosque of Jesus Christ, saying it's going to build peaceful coexistence. But Usama, you mentioned that the Jesus that is referred to in Islam is not the Jesus of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible.
Not only in the Arabic word Isa, which have no meaning, Muslims do not use the word Yeshua, which exists for 600 years. If you go to Acts chapter 2, you will find that in the first sermon Peter preached, if you hear it in the Arabic language, Peter did not say Isa, he said Yeshua, which means Savior. And the Jews who believed in Jesus, in the Arabic language, they know Yeshua. And the Christian who lived in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, when Muhammad claimed to be a prophet, they know the name Yeshua. And Muhammad changed it from Yeshua, the Savior, to Isa, a name without meaning, because he denied the deity and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross as a Savior. The scripture said, and you shall name him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. You shall name him Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. Not Isa. Isa have no meaning. Mm-hmm. And here's a question for the Muslim of Kenya, Brother Jim. Will they allow Muslims in Kenya, since we're brothers and sisters in humanity now? We're going to love each other. We're going to hug and kiss each other. Will they allow Muslims in Kenya to become a Christian and they don't punish them by stoning to death or by killing them, whatever way they shape, they choose? Maybe they beheaded them there. Will they allow Muslims to leave Islam to become a Christian? If this is yes, well, praise God, let's build a mosque like that in Egypt. But guess what? It is all hogwash talk. If a Muslim in Kenya became a Christian, he will be killed, if not by his own family members, but by the mosque leaders of that Jesus Christ mosque.
If one believes in the divinity of Jesus Christ, they're considered an unbeliever, like an infidel in Islam, correct?
Brother, this is not just kafir, infidel. This is the man who commits the sin of shirk. That's why Yasser Qadhi in America, a Muslim imam in America, wears suits and ties in America, told us. That's why Allah ordered Muhammad and the Muslim believers to perform jihad, to get rid of the sin of shirk. The sin of shirk is to have a partner with Allah. It is the unforgiven sin. So for you to become a Christian, you're committing the worst sin. To believe in Jesus to be God, you're committing the worst sin. And that's why every Muslim, not just in Kenya, in planet Earth, must kill their own sons and daughters if they ever dare convert to Christianity. What is the point of having a mosque by the name Jesus Christ to make unity and love between Jews and the Christians and Muslims? If every Muslim convert to Christ, you kill him. What is the point of having the mosque?
You see, friends, that's what we're pointing out, is that you will hear common words used, but it's a different dictionary. It's a different meaning. Usama, the followers of Islam do not believe Jesus was crucified, that shed his blood on the cross, paying the payment for our sin. That is not a teaching of Islam.
Absolutely not. Allah in the Quran is very clear for the Jim. The idea to believe that Jesus died on the cross is a joke. Why? Because Allah is the best deceiver. He deceived the Christians 2,000 years ago by making somebody else to look like Jesus. And that somebody else saved Jesus. So not only Jesus is not the Savior, but he is a saved man. Quran chapter 4 verse 157. And they're saying, surely we killed the Christ, Isa, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, and they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear to them. It looked like they killed Jesus, but as a matter of fact, they killed somebody else who Allah made look exactly like Jesus. A copy, perfect copy to Jesus. And that person is the one who saved Jesus, and that is the person whom Allah used to deceive all the Christians in the last 2,020-some years.
Right. Usama, just to quickly hit a couple other topics before we open the phone lines, I saw also that the Independent out of the United Kingdom just reported that a Muslim stabbed a woman. He insisted he's a terrorist, but the police say, no, he's not a terrorist. We're hospitalizing him as being mentally ill. We hear that often.
Well, Brother Jim, there are four good reasons why Muslims practice Islam. Number one, because they're uneducated. Number two, because they're poor. Number three, because they're mentally ill. Number four, because they misunderstood the Quran. That is a good excuse we'll work all over. As a matter of fact, just a few months ago, we got Muslims who burn a lady. They burned her. And a British man was able, in London, was able to turn her off by dumping water over her. And the police says this has nothing to do with radical or extremist. And the Muslim of London said, do not be alarmed. It has nothing to do with honor killing. Hello? What is going on? The British policemen and the British political leaders are in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they are giving England to the Muslim jihad, as exactly will be happening in America. Watch in the next 4 years if Biden become our president. The political leaders in America, the liberals, and the media in America, and the policemen in America will go in bed with the Muslims. No matter what they do, it will always be given another good excuse why what happened is happening. If it is stabbing, beheading, killing, burning, whatever it is, it always will be, Brother Jim, will have nothing to do with Islam.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Our guest today, Usama Dakdak, and certainly our main topic for the program today is Muslim political power advancing in the United States. We see a growing number of Muslims that have been elected in all aspects of governmental positions, including school boards, including county seats in the country, including on the bench, the judge's bench, members of Congress, state legislative bodies as well. And certainly the plans, the big get-out-the-vote-a-thon that was held just a week ago for the state of Georgia as well. And not only that, but of course we observe many of the other things that are taking place in this country and around the world. We see the influence that's happening on the university campuses. We see the influence that is happening also within the religious community as well. And so we have lots on our docket here today, so much going on, but let's begin with some phone calls. Let's begin in Miami, Florida, and Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints, first of all, and I love your program today, and I just want to tell you saints something about this. I hate to use it because I only look at one race, and that's the human race,
yes,
that God made. But this so-called black minister, you shouldn't vote for him. He's a false prophet. And the reason why, I'm just going to read two verses out of 2 Kings chapter 24. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with the innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon. Aborting babies,
yeah,
that's just killing them.
Yeah.
That's killing them. Saints, stay away from that, because you're with the arm of the enemy when you vote for him. And I can't pronounce your name right. Forgive me, I'm an old man now. But the thing is, I thank God for you bringing this subject to the people, because this president, so-called elected that we have coming up now, the first day he's in office, he's going to ask the schools to teach Islam in their schools. Parents, grab your kids out of it and teach them the Word of God. God bless you all, and let's pray for one another and stay in the Word of God.
Thank you,
God,
Courtney.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Let's
Amen.
Go to Winnicottie, Wisconsin. Ray J., you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Usama. Hey, Usama, just a fast question. I missed it on your series, United We Stand, Divided We Fall. The relationship between Campus Crusade for Christ and the MSA Muslim Student Association? Is it as one supporting the other? Are they correlated? Over.
Brother, it is so sad because not only the liberals in America are bound down to the Muslims and give them this great country, but even the Southern Baptist Church, which I am a member of. When, if you've been watching or if you've been listening to my radio broadcast, United We Fall, this is the unity which will bring America to its knees. And I am not making this up. Here is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Pastor J.D. Greer, are willing to carry the dialogue and hug and kiss on the Muslims and give them America. So it's not just China and Russia and Iran and whatever other country are infiltrating our life, but even the Christians of America are allowing the Muslims to infiltrate our life. We are about to be boiled. The frog is about to be boiled in America.
Well, let me just follow up on his question, because he was asking about Campus Crusade for Christ. Is there any link between them, Crew, and the Muslim Student Association?
Brother, well, I thought you understand that the Crusade, the Campus Crusade for Christ, they changed their name to Crew.
Right.
That is the new name they chose for themselves. And their leader, Kevin Singer, is the one who made this conversation, the dialogue between Imam Omar Sleiman and Pastor J.D. Greer. They are working together to give America to the Muslim by allowing Muslims to spread this Chrislam, whatever name we want to call it, dialogue, hugging and holding hands all over our colleges, and now it's in our high schools in America. I already covered this in my radio broadcast, but I apologize. Maybe I was not clear in my radio show. Okay. But this is exactly what's happening. It is the Baptist Church in America are working with the Campus Crusade in America, are working with the Muslim MSA. MSA is another jihadi organization, Muslim Student Association. They are one of the 30 jihad organizations like CARE to infiltrate America. But MSA are working in high schools and in colleges. And now the Baptists are blessing them to give them America through the Campus Crusade for Christ, because they no longer call themselves Campus Crusade for Christ. They call themselves Crew.
Thank you, Ray J.
Very good. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Usama.
Mm-hmm. And let's go to Maxine next. Hi, Maxine, you're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to ask about Muslims and communism.
And what is your question?
Oh, yes. Do Muslims go along with communism? Do they work together?
Muslims will work in America with everybody. They are socialists, they're communists. Anything will take down America, they will join hand with. They are actually right now working with gay and lesbians. They work with, it doesn't matter who you are. If you open your club, if you open your church, if you open your meeting to allow Muslims to infiltrate America, they will. But they know America will be destroyed if communists take over America. And obviously, communists will take over America when socialists take over America. So it is step by step going down, destroying America from within so they can take over America.
Let's go next to Mark in Monroe. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, all the Americans that are caving to the squad, they, in my opinion, could very, very well end up setting themselves up to be facing a firing squad quite literally in the long run. And I say that based on Hebrews 5:14, the second part of the verse that says they don't have their senses exercising to discern both good and evil. That's my comment.
Hmm. Okay. So what he's saying here, you're going to reap what you sow. And if you're sowing this, go ahead, Usama.
Exactly, Brother Jim. We're living in the end of time, Brother Jim. How do we know the scripture said they be called evil good and good evil?
Yes.
The squad team and the liberals of America have so much hatred to Jesus Christ, but they have love for Muhammad. They have hatred for Christianity and they love Islam. They have hatred for you and I as conservative Americans and they love socialists and communists. And that's exactly how America would be destroyed from within.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. We're going to take more of your calls right after the break. Stay with us. Usama Dakdak is our guest. His website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Well, let me say Merry Christmas. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. The great story of Christmas is the incarnation of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He who knew no sin became as if he had sinned. Well, he didn't have any sin. He was perfect and sinless. That's why he's our Savior. And his righteous life was credited or imputed to our account through faith and repentance. You see, salvation is available to all, but it's only applicable to those through faith and repentance. Use this Christmas season to proclaim the reason for Christ's birth, that there might be restitution of our relationship with our Holy Father through faith and repentance. Available to all, but only applicable to those who surrender their life to Christ through faith and repentance.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Dakdak, our guest. Muslim political power advancing in the United States. Let's go right back to the lines, holding the longest, Norway, Michigan. And we have Shirley calling in. Hi, Shirley. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having Mr. Dakdak on your program. This is a serious issue with the Muslims. I lived in Dearborn, and I moved 6 years ago. I feel like I moved back to America. What he says is true. I saw how they were taking over in Dearborn. The school board was totally controlled, the city council. I'm not sure about the police chief. He had an Arabic name. It's a takeover program. And there's a question that I would like to ask Mr. Dakdak. I worked in a bank, and when they had to make their annual pilgrimage, all these men were coming in asking for new $100 bills that their government did not want used money. Does he know why Muslims want new money?
Okay, thank you.
I believe this money will be taken with them overseas, and believe it or not, in my home country, the Muslim Brotherhood are collecting every dollar they can get out of Egypt. Somehow, economic, and I'm not expert on that topic, somehow they can control the economy of Egypt by controlling how many dollars is in their hand instead of the banks in and the bank system in Egypt.
It's kind of odd.
So only God knows about that.
Yeah, the new versus the old. Okay, thank you, Shirley. Emery is calling from Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air, Emery.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I discovered Usama about a year ago. I had started studying Islam about 5 years ago because as a Christian, I felt it was important to understand them better. And I was shocked when I heard him because he was parroting back everything that I had been learning and understanding. I think his message is so important. I wanted to thank him for what he is doing. He's doing a very dangerous job. I think it's critically important. I wish every single person in the country could hear him on a regular basis. I encourage him and wish him God's blessing. It's just phenomenal to hear him speak and tell the truth about Islam.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your word of encouragement, and you keep me in your prayer as well. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Emery. We've got Robert in Birmingham, England, calling in. Hi, Robert. Good to have you back on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Sam. Just thought that in view of what you'd said from that report in the newspaper about the attitude of some of the police over here, we've got some really lovely people in the police force, and we get on really well with them, but right through those who are leaning on the Conservative Party side of things, those concerned about the politicisation of the police in certain quarters and some of the difficulties we've got, some of the ways that restrictions have been applied during the COVID restrictions, some issues that there are with people in open air preaching and that sort of thing. And so there are these concerns, and I just thought that in view of what you'd said, you'd just like an additional comment underlining that.
Great. God bless you. Thank you, Robert, for the call.
Thank you. Happy Christmas to everybody.
Thank you, and same to you as
Merry
well.
Merry Christmas to you.
We have Melanie in Tennessee calling. You're on the air, Melanie.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having us on that talk on today. I'm really concerned about the attack on the identity of Christ in the words of Islam. And how can the Christians who know that God came down here in human form to live among us and begin his ministry at the age of 33, and he went out into the desert when he was, you know, baptized and and the Holy Spirit, you know, attended to him after the devil had left him for a season of temptation. And he really attacked his identity. So isn't that key to knowing the truth?
Usama.
So, Brother Jim, can you repeat the question quickly, please?
So she's concerned about the attack on Jesus Christ, and isn't who Jesus Christ is so important to his identity, who he is, even Son of God? Is that correct here?
Absolutely. If you go to the second letter of John, the Bible teaches that anyone will not confess that Christ is God Almighty who came in the flesh. He became Antichrist, and Islam is Antichrist cult. Not only is he called Christian infidels because they believe in Jesus, deity, birth and life and all the ministry of Jesus and death and burial and resurrection. Islam deny everything about Christianity.
Yeah.
When you deny the deity of Christ and the work of the cross, what is left in Christianity? Anything? And the problem, Brother Jim, is who is this person who is making the claim? It is a perfect man, a good, righteous dude? No, a very wicked, sinful man by the name Muhammad. Muslims need to know that their Muhammad is not a prophet. And the proof is, read the Quran and study the life of Muhammad. You'll find he's a very sinful man. But if we continue to talk this soft talk and we all hold hands and Christians are good and Muslims are good and Jews are good and we just sing the Kumbaya song, this will bring not only the destruction of America, but the destruction of the Muslims themselves who are victim number one of the cult of Islam.
Thank you, Melanie, for the call. We're getting short on time. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hi, brothers. People need to realize that there's nothing in common with Christ and the devil, Allah. Allah is going to end up in the lake of fire for eternity. Christ is not. He made the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. People Amen. Need to read their Bibles, and that includes a lot of people that are in high places within church hierarchies and mucky-muck church organizations. The Bible is the mind of Christ, and it describes Christ. And it is a total opposite of what Allah is in the Quran. Mm. Anything in opposition to the Bible is wrong. And anyone who takes any kind of a stand that the Bible is wrong is lost.
Yeah.
So they need to read their Bibles and take it
Amen.
Seriously.
Thank you, Brad. Matter of fact, Usama, one of the video teachings you have is, I see it on your site, what the Quran teaches about Jesus Christ, and you deal with that topic. You've got another one, Muhammad or Christ, who is greater, and you really delve into these specific topics.
The more we know, Brother Jim, about Islam, the more we're compelled to know that they are lost people, the more we're compelled to love them because they chose to become our enemy, and Christ commanded to love them because they are our enemy. See, the liberals think we love the Muslims because they're our friends, they're our neighbors. No, they're not our friends. They're not our neighbors because if they're Muslims, they're ordered by Allah never to take us for friends.
That's
we must love them because we need to reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for any other reason.
Indeed. And Usama, here as our closing music is playing, these are people who need the gospel, and winning Muslims to Christ is so critical.
Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, Brother Jim, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Usama. Thank you for being with us today. And, folks, again, the website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. You can click on many of their ministry materials that they have there to help you answer further questions on these important issues. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.